tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen amma ba'd fa'audhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajeem bismillahir rahmanir rahim الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. Alhamdulillah, in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss an important aspect of our Islamic life, and that is taqwa and piety, which is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm not alone today. I'm in the company of our esteemed colleague, Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah. Jazakullah Sayyidi
Ameen,
for joining us. And mashallah, I'm delighted to have you back.
Barakallah. Likewise.
Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, in today's program, we are going to discuss taqwa and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But before that, let's first and foremost recite Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani channel, one of Islam's distinguished teaching is to fear Allah, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our beloved master Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, ittaqillah haythuma kunta. Fear Allah wherever you are. Subhanallah. And this beautiful hadith Sayyidi goes in conjunction with a beautiful verse of the Holy Quran, where Allah azza wa jal has stated that huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum, that Allah is with you wherever you are.
Subhanallah.
And here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then advises us and teaches us to fear Allah wherever you may be. Fear Allah wherever you are. And we inshallah discuss three facts pertaining to this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Looking at the depth of this hadith, the first is regarding fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We mention inshallah azza wa jal, and the next two aspects which are related to the hadith, inshallah we shall explain them as well. Ittaqillah, first of all, the initial wording in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ittaqillah, fear Allah. This refers to fearing Allah azza wa jal regarding the fulfillment of one's obligation and avoiding sin. And it stems from taqwa, yes, meaning obligation to fulfill our requirements of Islamic practices. And to avoid sin, it all stems from taqwa, being the cornerstone of Islam. Stations of truth and certitude are attained from taqwa. Subhanallah. And what is the definition of taqwa, dear viewers? The definition of taqwa is avoiding acts which cause one harm in the hereafter, is called taqwa. And he who does this is referred to as muttaqi. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that people are referred to as righteous due to abstaining from things which others do not. This is the differentiating factor, subhanallah, among those who are righteous from the rest of the people. And there are, say, the some categories of taqwa, subhanallah. We will go one after the other. One is avoiding disbelief. Right. This is one of the greatest form of taqwa, to avoid disbelief. By the grace of Allah, we all as Muslims, alhamdulillah, have attained this. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to safeguard this iman that we have, the sound beliefs that we have, the faith in Allah that we have, until we depart from this world. We mustn't leave the rope and the string of faith, inshallah. Shaitan will try his best even until we take our last breath to take this iman away. But inshallah, azawajal, we will try and persevere through it. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. The second category of taqwa is to avoid misguidance. And every Sunni, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, has achieved this as well, subhanallah. By abstaining from the misguided people, the misguidance of the corrupt people,
right.
Sunnis have been safeguarded from it. And thus far, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept us safeguarded. And in future as well, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our association with Dawat Islami, we are kept safe from the misguidance. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. And the third category of taqwa is to avoid every major sin. This is where now the next test comes. Firstly, alhamdulillah, you know, there's always a hierarchy in terms of, you know, from the most important to now, getting to the things that still matter. Iman is the most important thing, which alhamdulillah we have.
Alhamdulillah.
And avoiding misguidance, that is also a major thing, which alhamdulillah every Sunni is safeguarded from misguidance. And then the third now is to avoid major sins. We still see many of us are involved in these vices. This is where we need to have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so we can attain the third category as well. They are awliya Allah, they are ulama-i kiram, they are pious individuals, see, who safeguard themselves from every major sin.
Yes.
Let alone the major sin, even the minor sins.
And you know, when I was speaking on, you know, the major sins, which we see one of those examples which we see now that is so widespread is children being disobedient towards their parents. And that, you know, one may think that it's a small thing, it's a small sin, but in reality, it's one of the major sins for children to disrespect their parents. So this is also, you know, something that we need to take into consideration, that we need to avoid the sin by showing love and obedience and respect towards our parents as well.
Allah. And the major sins that are there, you know, some are more major than the others.
Right.
Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in his hadith certain types of sins that are considered to be major sins. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard all of us from all those major sins and grant us the tawfiq to devote ourselves to Allah azza wa jal so He can give us tawfiq to abstain from the major sins. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Avoiding minor sins as well is a category of taqwa all in itself. But we're still remaining on avoiding major sins. For example, you know, people nowadays, you know, committing murder.
Right.
Committing murder, killing someone is a major sin.
Taking someone's life.
Yes. And this is one of the higher category of major sins. Allahu Akbar. Quran strongly condemns this.
Yeah.
Killing people without justification. For personal grievances, for personal benefits. People do it for various other reasons. And this is one of the major sins. Allahu Akbar. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given example of somebody who made tawbah from the major sin, Sayyidi.
Yes, it must have been in this regard. There was Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually gave the story of an incident that happened in the time of Bani Israel. And you know, it was concerning one individual who, you know, he murdered 99 people. And When he did that, he felt this remorse in him that, you know what, I need to stop. And so he goes to a monk and tells him that, you know what, I've killed 99 people.
Love.
Is there any chance of repentance for me? Are the doors still open? And this monk, he says that, no, it's not at all. I mean, you killed 99 people. There's no chance of repentance for you. So hearing this, this individual, he ended up taking the life of this monk as well. As he goes along, he comes across a pious scholar, and he says the same thing to this pious scholar, and in return he replies and he tells him that, yes, there is still a chance of repentance for you. There is still hope left. So he got happy by hearing this. He said, okay, so tell me now, what's the next step? What do I need to do? And so this pious scholar, he says that, first leave this land and go to another city in which you would find they are the group of the pious men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go there, sit in the company and make istighfar. So with this intention in mind, he left. And on his way, as he was going, he suddenly died. Now, what happened was, two angels came, one of mercy and the other of punishment. The angels of mercy are saying that we are going to take him. The angels of punishment are saying, no, we are going to take him because he killed 100 people. So this dispute was going on when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded an angel to measure the distance between both these lands. If he is closer to where he was coming from, then the angels of punishment must take him. And if he was closer to his destination, then the angels of mercy must take him. So subhanAllah, the land was measured and he was closer to the destination where he was going to. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave all of his sins and granted him Jannah. Now we see that the reason and the cause for it was he had this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that caused him to repent. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. This is, you know, the power of having of a person having the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such that in the Holy Quran it teaches us that whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will make a way out for him and will grant him sustenance from places he cannot even imagine. So if we look at it, you know, there are so many people who are going through different trials and tribulations and difficulties, financial losses, whatever the case may be, problems upon problems. And we see when we look into their lives, or when they look into their own lives, they find themselves, they are not following Quran and Sunnah. They are not living life according to Islam. Hence this problem will occur. But on the other hand, subhanAllah, if a person has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then such a person will attain peace and salvation in this world as well as in the Akhirah.
Inshallah. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi Lameen. SubhanAllah. Beautifully explained, Sayyidi. And here is a person who has done such grave sin, you know, that is regarded as kabira, major sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is boundless, Sayyidi. SubhanAllah. And Allah Azza wa Jal forgives this individual. The angels of mercy ultimately end up taking him to paradise, subhanAllah. And all it took him to have this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wanting to repent.
And together with the mercy, you know, he also had hope in the mercy of Allah.
Subhanallah.
So together with the fear that he had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he also had hope from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something also the Quran teaches us, that never despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person, you know, should understand this and realize that no matter what sins a person does, you know, everyone commits sins. But the important thing is to always repent afterwards, to always turn back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in this way, we are not losing hope from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person should have the fear of Allah as well as the hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Inshallah. Inshallah. Subhanallah. So yes, along with fear, we need to have hope from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as it is beautifully taught in our glorious deen of Islam, that Islam is between fear and hope.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. So avoiding major sins, that is crucial, categorically crucial when it comes to attaining the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the taqwa. The fourth category is to avoid minor sins. And then the fifth category, Sayyidi, is to even avoid doubtful things. And it is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, da'ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuka, meaning leave the things that put doubt in your mind and go for things, adopt the things that are not doubtful. Subhanallah. And here the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us how to break away from doubtful things and go for clarity.
Subhanallah.
And who doesn't like clarity in life? Yeah. Subhanallah. And here we are taught the very principle of clarity from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And number six, the sixth category of taqwa is to avoid desires. is to avoid desires, meaning following our carnal desires. That is the root of many sins. So to avoid desires, desires are many,
right?
Not everyone we can fulfill, you know, thousands of desires, each yes. worth dying for. And so which one are we going to fulfill? Our life will elapse, but the desires won't come to an end. Let's see if an example of a king. If he conquers one country, he is already planning and plotting to conquer another country.
Right.
He is not satisfied. Subhanallah. So yes, desires, nothing can fill the desires except the sand of the grave. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say to remember death, because that is that thing which breaks the desires. Subhanallah.
Master, that is so important in regards to what you are saying. And you know, at times when we hear of a person that has passed away, or a family member that has passed away, we will receive a message on our cell phones, and that message should actually be an eye opener for each and every one of us.
Yes.
You know, because the moment we start thinking about it, then we have to realize that we are performing their janaza today, and other people will be performing our janaza salah tomorrow. So before that happens, I have to now put my life in order and start to follow the Quran and the Sunnah, because this is my only salvation. And as you've mentioned, you know, thinking and pondering over death, it kills one's desires. You know, one will start to be content with what they have, and gradually, you know, one would see that they would fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is also very important to keep in mind.
Alhamdulillah, see, in the Madani environment of Dawat Islami, Amir al-Sunnah Dawat Barakatum Al-Ala, he often says that each janaza is a muballigh. Each janaza that we see is a silent muballigh. It says the janaza can say so much without even saying a word. Each janaza sends a strong message. I'm departing, you are next. We could be next, who knows?
Yeah.
And nothing is guaranteed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bring our desires to an end, or grant us tawfiq to really put our desires aside and work for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against our desires.
Inshallah.
Ameen bijahil nabiyyin ameen. The seventh category of taqwa is mentioned, that avoiding turning one's attention to others. And this is the station of Allah's select servants. Those lofty servants in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is specific to them.
Subhanallah.
And here, subhanallah, they are those servants who are so connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah knows best their station.
Allah.
May Allah azza wa jalla grant us forgiveness for their sake. Ameen. Bijahil nabiyyin ameen. And say, the fear of Allah and taqwa is that thing that we as the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are not the specific ones who were commanded to have the fear of Allah. But every nation, from the beginning, from inception, until the last ummah, this ummah, ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has been commanded to fear Allah.
Allah.
And it is stated in the Holy Quran, وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And we have indeed emphasized to those who received the books before you and to you that remain fearful of Allah. Adopting taqwa has been instructed in many other verses of the Holy Quran.
Allah.
Subhanallah. So this is that principle of Islam which has been emphasized over and over, and this is not particular to us,
right?
But those who have had books before us, there were 100 plus books, subhanallah, that were revealed on different Anbiya Ikram and their nations,
right?
And they all were commanded to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah.
And we are commanded as well to fear Allah azza wa jal. And The command to have taqwa, to have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was issued with various attribution in the Holy Quran. The meaning of taqwa in each respective case is in accordance with the association. For example, the Quran contains frequent mention of fearing Allah. When we are ordered to have taqwa in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this means to save oneself from His wrath. And the other example is, there is also the command to adopt taqwa regarding the punishment of Allah, the place of punishment such as hellfire, and sometimes the time of punishment such as the day of judgment. Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. These are various examples that Allah Azza wa Jal has given in order to ingrain and instill the teaching of taqwa in our heart.
Allah, Allah. You know, there are actually three signs of taqwa. And this is something that Dawood alayhi salam told to his son Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. And he told him that the taqwa of a believer manifests in three matters. Number one, he says, having complete reliance regarding that which he did not receive. And number two, he says, being content with what you have. And number three, firm patience concerning that which was taken from you. So we see that in these three, there are so many beautiful points. And one of them was, you know, content, to be content with what you have. And this is something which we see most people or some people out there complain about, that I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have much of this, I don't have much of that. We see, you know, these complaints are so widespread in our community, and that it has become normal to say such. And then we see that people complaining about less barakah. Why? Because of not being content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for you. When that contentment comes in, when a person attains contentment, then automatically he would find himself in richness. Why? Because contentment is a person's, is a believer's biggest treasure that he could ever have.
Subhanallah.
And it is this that takes a person throughout the ups and downs of life.
Inshallah.
So contentment we see is important. And the other is patience. Because if, say for example, you've lost something very valuable, and at that time you weren't patient enough, and you started yelling out, being agitated and complaining, then how can such a person have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because a person who has taqwa, who has fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will immediately show patience. Why? Because in being patient lies the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see the root is that a person has to have taqwa, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Inshallah, may Allah Azza wa Jal grant us all the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ameen. Bijahi Nabiyyil Ameen. Sayyidi, when it comes to taqwa and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the very foundation of it, the foundation of taqwa is to first be aware of the matters in which taqwa must be adopted. Sayyidina Bakr bin Khunais rahimahullah ta'ala, he states that how can someone become pious if he does not know how to avoid? Subhanallah. And the final Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is about his routine that whenever he was in the habit of always advising the Sahaba ikram to have the fear of Allah. And whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam appointed a commander over an army, he would counsel him in particular about adopting taqwa and being good towards Muslims.
Allah.
He also counseled Muslims about taqwa in his final sermon. And the companions, Ali Muridwan, also advised Muslims to adopt the same. So this has been the consistent teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Firstly, the Quran teaches, then the Sunnah.
No.
And the routine of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at different occasions. And this teaching had been passed down to the Sahaba Ikram, and then from them to the Tabi'een. They would also advise the Muslims, meaning those who looked up to them, meaning the Tabi'een.
Right.
And this has been coming ever since up until our time. Alhamdulillah, we should take it forward and ingrain and instill this teaching in our hearts and pass it down to others, our generations, yes. those who are in our care. And if we are teachers in institutes such as madrasa or jamia, we right. should instill taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our children's heart, in our relatives, siblings, and those who are around us. And this can be our salvation, inshallah, azza wa jal. Now, in this regard, every khutbah,
right.
if you listen to khutbah Jummah time or khutbatul Eidain, right. general khutbah, sermons of Islam,
Jee.
Taqwa is an integral part of it. You know, after the hamd and the salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then comes taqwa.
Yes.
وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ كُلِّ شَجْرٍ وَحَجَرٍ. And the teaching of taqwa is ingrained in the fabric of Islam, subhanAllah.
SubhanAllah.
So yes, this is something that we need to have. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he passed down this teaching, as we as his ummah, inshallah, we take it and forward this message to the coming generation, inshallah, azza wa jal. Sayyidi, we have a wonderful kalam as we are speaking about the legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are going to listen to the kalam and rejuvenate our hearts with the kalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Tere jaya, tere jaya, koi nahi, koi nahi. Yahi bole sidra wale, chamane jahan ke thale, sabhi maine chhan daale, tere paaye ka na paaya, tere paaye ka na paaya. तुझे यक ने यक बनाया तुझे यक ने यक बनाया तुझे यक ने यक बनाया तेरे खुल्क को हक ने अजीम कहा तेरी खिल्क को हक ने जलील किया कोई तुझसा हुआ है न होगा शहा तेरे खालिक के हुस्न व अदा की कसम अदा की कसम अदा की कसम दुनिया पे आया कोई तेरी ना मिसाल था مکے رہن والے مدینے جان والے مکے رہن والے مدینے جان والے ٹھڈے کھان والے نو سینے لان والے ٹھڈے کھان والے نو سینے لان والے تیرے باجو ڈگے نو کوئی نہیں سنبھالدا تیرے باجو ڈگے نو کوئی نہیں سنبھالدا لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا اب میری نگاہوں میں جچتا نہیں کوئی جیسے میرے سرکار ہیں ایسا نہیں کوئی تیریاں تے صفتاں دا کوئی وی حساب نہیں تیریاں تے صفتاں دا کوئی وی حساب نہیں تو تے کتھے تیریاں غلاماں دا جواب نہیں تو تے کتھے تیریاں غلاماں دا جواب نہیں حوراں نوں تو روپ ونڈے حبشی بلال دا حوراں نوں تو روپ ونڈے حبشی بلال دا لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا چہرہ تیرا نور ونڈے ساری کائنات نوں رب وی درود بھیجے ایک تیری ذات نو چہرہ تیرا نور ونڈے ساری کائنات نو چہرہ تیرا نور ونڈے ساری کائنات نو رب وی درود بھیجے ایک تیری ذات نو رب وی درود بھیجے
ایک تیری ذات نو شیدائے زمانہ تیرے حسن و جمال دا شیدائے زمانہ تیرے حسن و جمال دا
رب کے لے آواں کتھو سونا تیرے نال دا
اشارے سے چاند چیر دیا چھپے ہوئے خور کو پھیر لیا گئے ہوئے دل کو اثر کیا یہ تاب و تاواں تمہارے لیے کر کے دعا سونا سورج نو موڑ دا کر کے دعا سونا سورج نو موڑ دا آپے چن توڑ دا تے آپے چن جوڑ دا آپے چن توڑ دا تے آپے چن جوڑ دا بگڑی بناوے میرے نبی دا اشارہ بگڑی بناوے میرے نبی دا اشارہ
رب کے لے آواں کتھو سونا تیرے نال دا لب کے لے آواں کتھو سونا تیرے نال دا
کہندی اے حلیمہ مکھ ویکھ لجپال دا کہندی اے حلیمہ مکھ ویکھ لجپال دا لب کے لے آواں کتھو سونا تیرے نال دا لب کے لے آواں کتھو سونا تیرے نال دا چودویں دا چن نالے عرشاں دا تارا چودویں دا چن نالے عرشاں دا تارا قسم خدا دی مینو سب نالو پیارا قسم خدا دی مینو سب نالو پیارا ہو کا دیوا تیرے میں سچے پیارا دا ہو کا دیوا تیرے میں سچے پیارا دا جیوں دا اے ظہوری نا لے کے تیرے یارا دا جیوں دا اے ظہوری نا لے کے تیرے یارا دا منگتا میں تیرا تیرے در تیری آل دا ہاں منگتا میں تیرا تیرے در تیری آل دا
رب کے لے آواں کتھو سونا تیرے نال دا لب کے لے آواں کتھو سونا تیرے نال دا دنیا تے آیا کوئی تیری نا مثال دا دنیا تے آیا کوئی تیری نا مثال دا رب کے لے آواں کتھو سونا تیرے نال دا لب کے لے آواں کتھو سونا تیرے نال دا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم. Welcome back dear viewers. Subhanallah, we were listening to this wonderful kalam and now we are back discussing our topic, the taqwa and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this regard, we as Muslims who adopt taqwa, Allah places blessings in their actions. Those who adopt taqwa, Allah Azza wa Jal places blessings in their actions and they become well wishes for all. As a pious Muslim seeks to please Allah Azza wa Jal and does not seek praises, yes, and his words are more beneficial than those of normal people. Abu Sa'id al-Balkhi rahimahullah ta'ala was asked, why do the words of pious predecessors bear more efficiency and more effect than those after them? Subhanallah. And he replied that they desire for Islam to be shown honor and people to attain salvation, their brothers to be shown compassion and for Allah to be pleased. We desire personal honor, people's praise and worldly well-being. This is the difference. That is why the effect is not the same. Subhanallah. And we can see this in today's, in our today's world, as to how this effect has been watered down even further. And the pious predecessors, subhanAllah, if they would advise you to have the taqwa and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then yes, it would really touch the heart, because they themselves were practicing it. SubhanAllah, Sayyidi, what can be said about the taqwa and the piety of the pious predecessors, subhanAllah?
Allah, Mu'asab, in this regard, we see in the life of our pious predecessors, we see that when they would say something, immediately it would have an effect on the people. And the simple reason for that is because they feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they gained knowledge, and together with that, they practiced upon their knowledge. They practiced upon what they learned. They learned about halal and haram. They abstained from those things which are haram, and they only consumed those things which are halal. So this we see from our pious predecessors of how they feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what it actually comes down to. And you know, Masab, there are so many other factors that this happens, truly happens, when a person has this consciousness in him. And when he speaks, the effects of it are on the hearts of other people. Why and how? It comes down to taqwa. Compared to, say, for example, if your friend had to tell you something, and he would tell you, okay, perform salah, go to the masjid, do this, do that. But at times we find that it doesn't have an effect on our heart. You know, it depends on what kind of company we keep. But we see it doesn't have an effect. And why is that? Because what we see usually is that people advise others, tell others, without themselves practicing it first. Without that. And because of that, we don't see an impact in this speech compared to those who advise others with the same with the same wordings, the same statements, etc. A person who is pious, who has taqwa, will say the exact same thing, and it will have an effect. So what's the secret? The secret is having fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Sayyidi, and this is exactly what matters to the Buzurgan Deen, to have the chance to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every chance that they had gotten to please Allah Azza wa Jal, they never let go of it.
Yeah.
Any opportunity they had where they could exercise the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their taqwa, they held on to it. SubhanAllah. Look at the example of Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala ali. His asceticism and his taqwa and the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal was so high, subhanAllah, that he would cry in front of the Baytullah Sharif.
Allahu Akbar.
Yet he was so pious. And Ghawsi Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala ali would say that my Eid will be on that day when I leave this world with Iman.
Allahu Akbar.
That was their taqwa and piety, subhanAllah. And a person was asked, a righteous man to advise him. Right? He asked a righteous person to advise him, give him some advice, give him some nasiha. And the righteous person then told him, you are like an individual who fell into dirt. Yes. Yet he approaches a perfume seller asking where perfume is.
Allah.
You are covered in dirt, but you want to put perfume.
This is one perfume.
Yes, to camouflage. You don't want to get rid of the dirt. And he replies, go buy soap and then you wash yourself and clothes. After that, come back and apply perfume. You are the exact same as this. And your nafs is soaked in the sin. Take the soap of regret and the water of repentance and place them in vessels of fear and hope. Wash your outward with these to purify yourself from the dirt of crime and betrayal. Go to the bathroom of righteousness and bath yourself with the water of truth. Then come to me and I shall apply the perfume of gnosis to you.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah.
So each has, it happens gradually. You cannot be immersed into the filth of sins and then ultimately, I mean, immediately you can attain taqwa. No, right. First you have to get rid of the sins, and then slowly but surely, inshallah, azza wa jal, there are gradual processes that you have to go through. In order to apply perfume, and you are you are in need of bath, the perfume is not going to help in that situation, yeah. Right? And you're still going to give bad odor, no matter how much perfume you can apply to your body.
Yeah.
First, you have to remove the filth from the body, from the clothes, then apply perfume, and then you will get the effect of the perfume. Subhanallah. Very beautiful piece of nasiha. And this is with regards to the first wording in the hadith, ittaqillah.
Allahu Akbar.
Now the second part of the hadith comes, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ittaqillah, the second part is, haythuma kunta, meaning wherever you are. Fear Allah, wherever you are. And this highlights how Allah Azza wa Jal knows our inward and outward states.
Allahu Akbar.
Because fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether we are alone, being showered in bounties, or facing intense trials. His commands are to be acted upon in every situation, whether in our privacy or in public. Working to please Him should be our aim, as well as avoiding anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidi, our Ustaz-e-Mukarram, he used to always say, ittaqullah fi jalwatikum wa khalwatikum. Fear Allah in your common appearance outwardly,
right,
and when you are in your private space, even then you must have the same fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Here we are taught a great lesson that fear Allah wherever you are. It means that whether you are in public or you are in your privacy, you are alone, the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal still applies. Because no matter whoever is looking or not,
yeah,
Allah is always watching.
Allah.
We cannot hide in a room or seclude ourselves in seven layers, right? Or hide in a bunker. Allah Azza wa Jalla is still watching us.
And
nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You know, Masab, there has been incidents of such things that happened in the past, you know, with individuals, where once a person, he fell in love with a woman, and he wanted to commit wrong with her. So he goes to her and he expresses himself to her. She tells him that, okay, go and see if everyone else is sleeping. So this individual, this guy, he walks out and he goes and checks if everyone is sleeping or not. He comes back. He tells her that all of them, they are sleeping. So she tells him that, tell me about Allah. Is He also sleeping? This person says, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, slumber does not overtake him, nor does sleep overtake him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of everything. So when she told him all of this, he immediately retracted his words and he stopped committing that wrong. He avoided to commit that wrong. Why? Because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look at how the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can stop a person from sinning. Everyone wants to know, how do I stop sinning? What can I do to stop sinning? What can I read to stop sinning? What wazifa can I read to stop sinning? You know, the greatest secret is to have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because automatically, when something wrong comes to your mind and when you want to act it out, then immediately the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strikes one's heart, and that prevents a person from committing sin.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. So yes, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the key to unlock many virtues.
Definitely.
And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that what is the peak of wisdom? It is the fear of Allah. Ra'sul hikmati makhafatullah. That the peak of wisdom is the fear of Allah. He who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is a very wise person. Despite being obedient to Allah azza wa jal day and night, our pious predecessors would still fear Allah azza wa jal. And when a storm began, Sayyidina Atta al-Sulaymi rahimahullah ta'ala would cry and explain that this is due to me, this is because of me, creation will be trialed by this. If Atta were to die, the creation would be safe from
Allah.
This. Crying profusely, he would say, perhaps I will be dragged to the hellfire first, yet I am heedless.
Allah.
If a community is not heedless of Allah and knows that He is watching them, we all believe in this. And imagine how much preservation would be afforded to their rights. Contemplate the immense sincerity, the serenity and peace they shall experience. Reflect over the fine manner in which they would fulfill their obligations. Allahu, if we all had to adopt the same level of fear. Whenever the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala develops in people and wishing well for others becomes a part of their attributes, they will become a means for removing difficulties from people and facilitating ease for them.
Subhanallah.
And their speech will be used to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well as to benefit others and save them from harm. And their hands will not be used to pull people down, but rather to support them instead. Inshallah, make a promise to fear Allah Azza wa Jalla and to avoid disobeying Him regardless of the conditions we are in. Subhanallah, Sayyidi, these are the effects of these pious predecessors, that they would instill the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla in people's hearts. That when people are in their presence, let's say for example, how do we feel when we are in the presence of the giants of Islam in our current era? Let's say for example, Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatum al-Aliya, or Nigrani Shura Hafizahullah, Rukni Shura. When they come, when we are in their presence, when we are in their company, how do we feel, subhanAllah, motivated to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do good, to do the virtuous things? Allahu Akbar. Why? Because their company also inspires us.
Yes.
Because they are the people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we happen to be in their company, and if we are groomed on their hands, inshallah azza wa jal, we will also learn to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So it is also as important, as you mentioned, to join the company of those who have this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their hearts.
That is why, Masab, you know, it is said that a friend is he who, when you look at him, he reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the kind of friends that we need to keep, and it will enable us also to develop the fear and the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we have such company and such friends who also have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who also follow the Quran and Sunnah. If they see something, if they see their brother doing something wrong, or he is falling down, then they would go and they would assist him, they would pick him up, they would tell him that, you know what, this is the wrong thing that you are doing, you're not supposed to do that, this is the right way. So if those kind of friends we have, if that's the kind of company we have, then mashallah, and that is actually good, because through that company, everyone will be motivating each other towards goodness and to have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's mentioned also that, you know, a true believer fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with every part of his body. You know, he takes so much care, because if we have to look at it, on the day of Qiyamah, our own body limbs, our own body organs, they are going to testify against us whether we did good or we did bad. You know, whether we committed sins with these body limbs. So these are also what we need to take care of, not committing sins with our tongue, with our eyes, with our ears, with our hands, with our legs. How do we do that? When we say do not commit sins with your eyes, by not looking towards all of that which is haram, by not seeing haram, you know, and about the ears, but not listening to haram, not listening to music, etc. With the tongue, not speaking lies, not backbiting, not slandering. And how widespread we see this today, where usually some people out there consider backbiting as a form of entertainment now. So all of these we see we are doing with our body limbs. And these are the kind of sins and vices that we need to refrain from, we need to abstain from, and rather do good with these bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Sayyidi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make amal on these madani pearls. Ameen bijahi nabiyil ameen. We are insignificant as compared to those pious predecessors, especially the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's say the example of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabiyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, who is known as the friend of Allah, Khalilullah. And he enjoys a lofty rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is one of the few chosen Ulul Azm prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this extent that the trembling of his heart would be heard from a square mile away.
Allah, Allah.
And these are the conditions and the states of the prophets alayhimu salam. With you and all fall, Sayyidi, in Allah, this regard. Allah. And the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the righteous people, how they would fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who have Allah. Renounced this world, ponder and reflect over this matter. That if this was their state of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how much do we need to fear Allah?
Allah.
Sayyidina Abu Lays rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that Allah Azza wa Jal has angels in the seven heavens who are in prostration since the very time Allah Azza wa Jal created them. And they will continue to be in prostration in sajda until the day of resurrection. Violent fear seizes them from merely thinking about acting against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the day of resurrection, they will raise their heads and say, glory be to you. We did not worship you as we ought to have worshipped you.
Allah, Allah.
And they have been making sajda from when?
Allah.
From the time Allah Azza wa Jal had created them. And Allah. They are the angels in the seven heaven who are in sajda, and they will only raise their head from sajda on the day of resurrection. And this is what they will say Allah. In the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas we, five times sajda, few sajdas, so few that we can even count them on the fingers. And yet, we forget to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here the angels of Allah, that's all they have been doing for their entire life.
Allah.
And not a small, short span of life from the time they have been created till the time of resurrection. That is thousands of years. Subhanallah. And this is what they will say when they are raising their heads from sajda. And they will say to Allah Azza wa Jal, glory be to you. We did not worship you as we ought to have worshipped you.
Allah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant lazza in our sajdas and lengthen our sajdas and sincerely put our head on the floor for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fearing Allah Azza wa Jal. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyin Ameen. Sayyidi, we have like few moments before, few minutes before we come to conclusion, inshallah Azza wa Jal. So, some words of advice for our viewers out there.
Master, you've spoken about, you know, repentance, turning back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that we need to do. And together with doing that, we should also cry out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we can't cry, then we should make our face like we are crying, you know, out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is mentioned, you know, that a person will be brought on the day of Qiyamah and his bad deeds will be more than his good deeds. He will now be ordered to be taken towards Jahannam. One of his eyelashes, it will speak and it will say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that whoever cries out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him, and I cried out of your fear. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him and save him from the fire by the blessings of a single eyelash which used to cry out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
And then Jibreel alayhi salam will announce that such and such person gained salvation through a single strand of hair. Subhanallah. So we should also cry out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyin Ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to shed tears in the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is that fear, Sayyidi. Once we start to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rest of the fears will become irrelevant.
Yes,
inshallah Azza wa Jal. So yes, we need to inculcate this Islamic teaching, the mindset of fearing Allah Azza wa Jal as much as we can, and develop more and more taqwa in our hearts. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyin Ameen. Until next time, inshallah Azza wa Jal, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace.